How are y'all doing? Testing. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. As I was coming in tonight, someone asked if, are you going to tell some jokes? And so that may be my trademark. Pastor Schumacher was wanting an unusual service tonight, so he invited me to be sure we don't have a normal Sunday night service. Praise God. Your pastor is a real risk taker. You need to know that he's a risk taker. Every time I get invited down here, I know he's a risk taker. We love the Schumachers. They've been friends of ours for a long time. And we have a familiar spirit. I think we feel basically the same about the kingdom of God, about the church of God, about living for God. How many remember the 10 things that God will never say? Someone remembers. When I first read those, I had more requests for the 10 things God never says than for the message. But that's all right. I do that so that in case the message bombs, I leave something with you to remember. I'll just do them quickly. 10 things God never says. Anyone remember what the first one was? Oops. Number 2, what have I done? Number 3, how did I let that happen? Number 4, I made a mistake. Number 5, it was an accident. Number 6, I don't know what to do. Number 7, I'm afraid of what will happen now. Number 8, I can do better than that. Number 9, what do you think I should do? And number 10, why didn't I think of that? Praise God. Those are good. Let me leave you with just another little mnemonic device here. Say think. Think. Or to think on these things. Here's a good reminder. I'm just wondering if I need a little more monitor up here. It seems like I'm projecting out there. Praise God. Praise God. Good. Think. T-H-I-N-K. Think. T is for true. H is for helpful. I is for inspiring. N is for necessary. K is for kind. Think on these things. True, helpful, inspiring, necessary, kind. Then from the Old Testament to the New, we have an acrostic called FEEPS, F-E-E-P-S, figures, examples, and samples, patterns, and shadows. How many know the difference between an example and an end sample? Okay, a little English. Example is object use as an illustration. End samples are individuals used as illustrations. So we have examples and end samples. Praise God. There you are, your grammar lesson for the night. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 23 and 3. Pastor Schumacher read from 139. We had a chorus up here say, what was it? I forgot what it was now, but it fit the message tonight. So the choir number, the choruses, the worship service, the scripture, all pointed in the right direction. I feel good when there's confirmations in a service on a theme. I think God is not confused. He knows what he wants to speak in advance. He knows what we need tonight. My prayer is that I be able to minister to you tonight in this opportunity. Psalm 23 and 3 says, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. And my title for tonight is Trust Your Shepherd. Trust Your Shepherd. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your help tonight. Thank you for your thought. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be together again in this building, this wonderful sanctuary. Thank you, Lord, for the musicians, the choir. Thank you for the leadership of this church. Thank you, Lord, for the precious saints. Thank you for this opportunity to minister and handle your word again. I'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise God, and you may be seated. Thank you, Lord. My wife and I both survived COVID-19. I lost 30 pounds. I told someone, one more pandemic and I'll be down to my high school weight. So we survived that. I have friends that did not survive that. They're gone. And I'm very thankful to be here. I said, Lord, if you need me, I'm better alive than dead. I'm better healthy than sickly. I'm better able than disabled. So if you're going to use me, you want me to continue the work, then I'll need your help and your health and strength. And so the Lord brought us through that. It was a very humbling experience. I'm very thankful for the healing power of the Lord. And I know that I've experienced the message that I'm preaching tonight, trust your shepherd. Imagine yourself in a jungle tonight. Now, when I think of jungle, I think of National Geographic Nature Series that I can watch. I don't have to feel the heat or the humidity or the predators or the insects or the snakes. But imagine that you were in a jungle. It's dense, it's dark, there's tropical heat, very, very humid, very uncomfortable. This is a once-in-a-lifetime trip that you've planned. You paid the fare, you crossed the ocean, you hired a guide, and you joined the group, and you have ventured where you will never venture before. It is truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You entered a strange world of the jungle. Sound interesting? Any here would like to go? No? You'd rather stay here in the 90-degree weather of Wisconsin? Now imagine you are in the jungle and you're lost and you're alone. Can you imagine the feeling of being in the jungle? In British Columbia, we have dense forests of pine trees. And when you step off the road, you can walk 15 feet and look around and be lost. It's that dense. And it's a weary feeling to be there and not know how to get out, not know which direction you came or how to get out of that situation. You pause to lace your boot, and when you look up, your group is gone, and you're all alone, and you're lost. You take a chance. You go to the right and hope that maybe the group went to the right. Or did they go to the left? Or maybe did I go to the left and the group went to the right? And it really doesn't make any difference because you're just as lost no matter which way they went. Whatever, you are very much alone. Anyone here ever been alone? Anyone been lost? Right? Anyone felt like you were lost and did not know? I remember one time we were hunting up north. Yeah, near Antico, and the sun was going down, and all of a sudden it was dark, and I couldn't see. And I remembered something about moss growing on the, north side of a tree? I remembered that. My dad told me that years ago. And so I looked for some moss, and I realized that we had gone north. We needed to go south, and so we went south until we got to a logging trail, and we got out. It was pitch dark when we got out. I had an eerie feeling about being lost in the cold north woods, and I was so thankful to get out that night. Praise God. Whatever you're lost, your watch was attached to your backpack, and the backpack is now on the shoulder of this guy from New Jersey who told you that he would hold your backpack until you got your boot tied. He left. You didn't intend for him to leave, but he walked off, and he's left you, and now you are all alone. You're stuck in the middle of nowhere. You have nowhere, no idea which way to turn. You have a problem. You're not made for this place. You're out of your element. You weren't made for this jungle. You aren't equipped. You don't have a machete. You don't have a knife. You don't have matches. You don't have flares. And you don't have food. You're trapped without a clue how to get out. Am I the only one that's ever been lost? Have you ever felt lost in life? Sound like fun to you? Not, Not me neither. What emotions would surface? What emotions would surface in a situation like that? How about panic? That'd be a possibility. You know it won't work, but you panic anyway. Fear, anxiety. How about angry? Where did my group go? Why did they leave me here alone? Hopelessness. You ever had a hopeless feeling? Like there was no way out, no solution? You couldn't see the answer? You didn't know how you were going to get out of the situation? No idea where to turn and not even a hunch on what to do? Who could blame you if you would sit on a log? In fact, check for snakes before you do that. Sit on a log, bury your face in your hands, and think, I'll never get out of this alive. No direction, no equipment, and no hope. It's a terrible thing not to have hope. Every one of us tonight, if you have a future, if there's something you're praying for and dreaming about, hoping for, you've got to have hope that it will work out in time. Can you freeze phrase that emotion for a moment? Can you sense for just a second how it feels to be out of your element? Out of solutions. Out of ideas. Out of energy. Anyone been there? Just too exhausted. We're in well-doing. We're not in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Don't be exhausted. Don't cave in. Don't quit. Out of energy and out of hope. You can relate to many other people in the world. For many people, life is a jungle. And there seems to be no way out of their circumstance. Our jungles are composed of thicker thickets, contagious diseases, broken hearts, and empty wallets. Our forests are framed with hospital walls and divorce courts. We don't hear the screeching of birds or roaring of lions. We hear the complaints of politicians, and we hear the demands of our bosses. Our predators are our creditors. The brush that surrounds us is the uncertainty that terrifies us. Life can be a jungle. For some, even many, hope is a short supply. There is no hope. I've known people that felt like there was no hope. There was no reason to live. No reason to get up in the morning. No reason to try to find a job. No reason to try to make friends. And they eventually took their life because they were without hope. We can't make it tonight, folks, without hope. We sang of a wonderful hope that we have, that Jesus is coming soon. That's the greatest hope that we have in this world. Someone asked me, my neighbor asked the other day, are things going to get better? I said, no, sir, they're going to get progressively worse. And prophecy is going to be fulfilled, and God is going to perform his ultimate will, and one day the church will be taken home. Trying to give him a Bible study. Wet as whistle. Pray for my prudential financial advisor. He wanted me to baptize his baby, so we got talking about baptism, and hopefully that will lead to a Bible study. I'd love to have that fine young couple in our church. Praise God. It's happening all around. It's happening, and God is doing a wonderful work. Praise God. We imagine the emotion of being lost. Can we imagine the joy of being rescued? The fear of being lost, how about the joy, the ecstasy, the sheer gratitude of being rescued? What would it take to restore your hope tonight? Praise God. You need a person. You need someone who knows the way out. Someone who knows what they're doing, knows how to lead you out. Someone you can trust. I'm sorry you can't trust everyone, but there are some trustworthy people that you can trust. From him you need some vision, someone to lift your spirits, someone to say this isn't the end, someone to say don't give up, someone to say there is a better place than this, I'll lead you there. Praise God. We all need that. We all need that. Somewhere, you got to have that kind of a person in your life tonight. Most important, you need direction. You need three things, person, vision, and direction. Praise the Lord. If you have only a person but no renewed vision, you have only have company. If you have a vision but no direction, you have only a dreamer for a companion. But if you have a person with direction who can take you from this place to a better place and to the right place, then you are the one who has had your hope restored and you can make it out. Praise God. Psalm 23:3, David said, he restores my soul. And if anyone knew about having his soul restored, it would have been David. Bible tells me that 22 different times Saul tried to kill him. The giant threatened him. His sons rose up against him. He had all kinds of problems, all kinds of things to be restored. And when he said, "He restoreth my soul," David surely did know what he was talking about. Praise God. Everything changes when your rescuer appears. Hallelujah. Things change when the rescuer arrives. I was on Mount Baker. I was doing Metro Missions, and we were at a minister's meeting, and they said, "Well, why don't we take a break and go skiing?" So I said, "Sure." So we went to Mount Baker, and I had skied some hills in Wisconsin, but not mountains like Mount Baker. So I got on a pair of loaned skis. I went down the bunny hill, tried to get my feelings back. Then we took them up. It took us to up to a trail and a downhill slope. And Mike Laurie from Langley at that point said, "Come on, Mark, we can make this." And so I started down. That's the last thing I remember. Last thing I remember, I went down the slope, and then I got off on a double diamond, double black diamond run. I don't know if you know what that is. If you don't know, don't try it. Double black diamond run, and they said I had excellent form. I said, "You were making good time and excellent form until you hit the bottom." And then I broke my arm right here below. Brother Portman broke my arm right here. That's just one of the things I've been through. Broke my arm there. And I don't remember a thing. I'm thankful that someone came and rescued me, even if I wasn't conscious. They loaded me up, put me in an ambulance, took me up to Surrey. I remember waking up with the cold air blowing over me in the ambulance. And I said, "Sure is cold." And that's the first time I was conscious. And I knew that I was alive again. I went to the hospital. I had the doctor did the surgery. And they looked at it. And they said, "There's no way we can do that." And I had the church pray. And God mended my arm. It was shattered in pieces. And he mended it, put it back together. And so I had an arm. Praise God. So that was my first miracle. But I was so happy when the rescuers arrived. I was unconscious, didn't even know it, but they were there and helping me even when I didn't know it. For a year and a half, Brother Portman, I had therapy. You know what that's like, therapy, twice a week. And I went in. It finally healed to the point where they could start renewing the muscles. And I told the doctor, he was from Sweden, he was good, he was a physical therapist. I said, "Please close the door." I said, "I'm not going to say any naughty words, but I want you to close the door because I'm going to moan and groan. I want you to wail on that arm, stretch it out. I want the use of that arm again." And so he would close the door, and I would say, "Wow, that feels so good when you quit." And I eventually got the movement of my arm back, and I'm thankful for that, thankful for people that rescue. You will be happy when the rescuer arrives. Right? If he hasn't arrived, he's going to arrive tonight. He'll be here. He's here right now. You just need to be aware. Right. This will be an unordinary Sunday night service when you'll be rescued. Praise God. Your loneliness diminishes when you have fellowship. Your despair decreases when you have a vision. Your confusion lifts when you have direction. Please note, you haven't left the jungle. You're still in the jungle. The jungle has not changed, but you have changed. Your world out there Monday will be just like it was last week, maybe even worse. The world has not changed. The jungle has not changed, but you can change. You have changed because your hope has been restored. You now have hope. You have hope because you have someone in your life who can lead you out. Your shepherd knows your needs. He knows what you're made of. Brother Schumacher tonight read Psalm 139. He knows all about you. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. He knows more about you than you're able to repent over, more than you're able to confess, more than you're able to remind him of, maybe more than you're able to talk to him about in your prayer. He knows all about you. He knows what you're made of. He knows that you're not equipped to live in the jungle. He also knows your limits tonight. I'm so thankful that I worship a God who knows all about me. He's good at what he does. He knows what he's doing. He has come to guide you out. How many want to get out? Good night to get out. You've been locked up, bound long enough, confused long enough, without hope long enough, confused. You've been there long enough. It's time to come out of the jungle tonight. He is the perfect one to do so. He has the right vision. God has the right vision. We may not know, but he does. He's God. Whether we understand him or not, he still knows what's best and what to do for us. He has a vision. Psalm 121:1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Too many times we spend our time looking around, looking down, looking around, looking to the right, looking to the left, checking our cell phones, see who we can call, who can we text, who can we ask, who can we talk to, and our hope is to look up, look up, look up. Lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. We just come through winter. Lots of ice, lots of snow, lots of slippery, lots of accidents. He will not let your foot slip. Psalm 73:2, one of my favorite psalms. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My feet had well nigh slipped. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. There's something good about being in church. There's some things you understand in church that you don't understand out there. There's some things you understand only when you're prayed up do they make sense. When you're carnal, they don't make sense. They're a foolishness to you. But when you're prayed up, walking in the Spirit is working and revealing these things to you, these things make perfect sense. Praise God. Feet were nigh slip. He will not let your foot slip. He will not slumber. You'll never find God sleeping or taking a lunch break or on a vacation. He's 24/7 on duty, ever-present help, not far from every one of us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Praise. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I got to remember that when I think I'm all alone, when I think this is me against the world, when I think I'm the only one going through this, I need to remember tonight that Jesus Christ is right there. He cares for me. He is carrying my burden. He is undergirding me with his everlasting arms, and I can rely on him. He will give my hope. He will lead me. He's got the vision, and he's got the direction tonight. He'll watch over you. He'll keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Praise God. The rescue has the right direction. John 14:6, I am the way. I am the way. I hear a lot of voices today. What can you believe today? Tell me, what news can you believe today? What news media, what voice, what person, what reporter can you believe today? Lots of voices, 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers in the gospel. Everyone's got an advice, a conspiracy, a theory, all kinds of explanations. I want to hear from him. I want to hear what the Lord has to say. He said, I am the way. Praise God. He is the right person because he is our God. When you've got him, you've got the very best. You've got the best of the best. There's a story in closing tonight of a man on an African safari. We're spending some time in Africa tonight. African message. Praise God. There's a man on an African safari. He was deep in the jungle. The guide ahead of him had a machete, and he was whacking away at the tall grass and clearing the underbrush. And this weary, hot, weary traveler finally asked in frustration, where are we? A good question. Where are we? Do you know where you're taking me? Where is the path? And the seasoned guide turned around and looked at him and said, sir, I am the path. I'm the path. I'll lead you, and your job is to follow me. I'll do the cutting, I'll do the clearing, and you do the walking. You follow me, and we're going to get out of this jungle because I know the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. We ask God the same questions tonight. You've asked them. You've asked him these questions. Where are we going? Where am I? Where am I going? Do you know the way? Where is the path? And God doesn't always give us an answer. He doesn't give us the answer. He gives us a far greater gift. He gives us himself. He said, listen, you're not in this alone. I'm with you. We're going to walk through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I refuse to be controlled by fear. Just me. I've been in a fearful situation. I refuse to be dominated and controlled and manipulated by fear. I will fear no evil. You could say that over sometimes. I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will fear no evil. Praise God. He's following me. And he said, I want you to follow the God who follows you. And together we can make it out. Matthew 28:20, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. One of my favorites, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That's my problem. My analytical mind wants to think about it, wants to figure it out, wants to do it with my mind. And he said, the things I put in front of you, you won't solve with your mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Next situation you get in, even tonight in this altar, why don't you include him? Say, Lord, you're here. Explain. It's okay to report your emotions, report your fears. It's okay to tell him how you're feeling. The Psalms are full of people who exploded and unloaded their feelings to God. When they got all done, when they used God as a great dumpster, then he came back with an answer for them that gave them direction for their lives. It's okay to tell God how you're feeling, to be honest and candid with him, and he will have an answer for you in this altar. He'll have an answer, direction for you tonight, and I believe that. Trust your shepherd. Trust your shepherd. It's easier to say trust him than it is to trust him. It's easier said than done. And when all is said and done, more is usually said than done. But tonight is time to trust him and commit yourself afresh to him and say, Lord, you're going to help me. Now, school's in session. Pay attention. He's going to try to direct you. He's going to try to talk to you. He's going to try to put people in your life. He's going to bring solutions and answers to your life. Pay attention and don't miss the lessons he's trying to teach you tonight. He's trying to help you, guide you, and prepare you for his soon return. Praise God. Shall we stand tonight? Brother Schumacher. Praise you, Lord. Praise God.
Thank you, Brother Lemke.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, I know one thing. I'll never go skiing or snowboarding again. Glory to God. Amen. You know, I trust God more today than I did when I first came into the church or even a year ago. And the reason I do is because God has brought me through some things. And if he's brought me through some of those things, what do I have to fear in the future? Just follow him. That's all. Sometimes people come to me with problems and they're looking for solutions and answers. And there absolutely isn't anything except continue to do what's right and follow his word, follow his leading. Keep worshiping him for the victory. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And that doesn't happen in the first 2 months of serving God. It happens over a lifetime of building up. I mean, look what happened to David. Look what happened to Paul. So many who have gone through so many difficult situations, and time after time, God brings them out. And after a while, you have such confidence that if he did it before, he's going to do it again. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll never let you down. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. That's the only thing that you can be completely sure of in life. He's got your back. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he's got your front. And you can't do anything without him knowing what's going on. And he has your best interest in his hand. Amen. So what should I fear? You know, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Glory to God. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?